So welcome to the Learning Reinvented podcast, brought to you by myself, Katie Godden, and the team at The Learning Effect. There are lots of learning podcasts out there, so we wanted to do something slightly different. This week, we're talking to someone who looks after HR and L&D in a pretty interesting company. I'm delighted to welcome Vicky Emerson to the podcast. Thank you for joining me, Vicky. Do you want to introduce yourself and tell our listeners a little bit more about your background and the journey you've taken so far?
Yeah, sure thing. So hi, I'm Vicky Emerson. I'm the director, as you say, of HR and learning and development at Projecting Success. I've been with Projecting Success since June 2020. And my career has predominantly been in learning and development, where I have taught in high school, college and university. So I've been involved in education for 16 years. I got more involved in sort of curriculum development and design about 10 years ago. And, you know, and it sort of led me to sort of more senior posts that I've been in the last few years. When I joined Projecting Success, it is a technical company. So they've been at the forefront of data-driven project delivery since 2016, and basically they're a massive collaborator with the community. We founded a project data analytics community quite a few years ago. We've got an accumulative following of around 10,000 members, and it's all about working together to solve like real-time challenges that project delivery professionals face. And up until recently, we've mainly focused on project management, but we also look at all the other industries as well now and how we can support them in data analytics and a data-driven future, basically to make the planet better and society better, automate tasks, understand the data better, make more informed business intelligent decisions using data, and also working in the field of artificial intelligence, machine learning to bring that to life, really. So the business has a couple of facets. We are a technical consultancy, so we have technical professionals, and we also teach. So we teach project data analytics to various industries across the United Kingdom and across the world.
Wow, that sounds interesting. Definitely doing a lot there at Projecting Success. Can you touch a bit more on like the technology side of things that you have there, like and how that impacts like the project management and the stuff that you're teaching?
Absolutely. So in terms of technology, obviously it's developing every day. And I think that you only have to look at LinkedIn and you only have to look at the news and you can see the technological developments that are out there. I mean, the thing that's been the big storm at the moment is ChatGPT as a language model and how popular it is. But it's not just ChatGPT and language models that make up all of this. It's an accumulation of lots of data analytical techniques that can be applied into businesses in order to make business intelligent decisions, automating tasks, using machine learning and algorithms to predict what's going to happen in the future. In terms of project management, like risk is a massive issue, you know, and risk assessment is really key. And having machine models that are learning from past events, so from gathering data from the past, is really essential. And what's happening is we're able to develop machine learning models and algorithms in order to predict what could happen in the future if you took that path, if that makes sense. So yeah, it's pretty interesting stuff. It can get really too technical, and I think what's important to say is, you know, from my background in learning and development, I was not one of those technical people, like the data guys over there. I was just complete learning and development, and my journey has really evolved because I've fallen in love with technology and what it can do and how it can support my role and support me personally and professionally. And I mean, I hate to say it, but if I can do it, anybody can, because I think there's a big fear around getting involved and thinking that, oh, that's not for me, that's for the tech people over there, whereas change the way people look at technology and how it's accessible to all and people can really embrace this stuff.
I know when we spoke previously to this recording, you said about the things that you've learned, and like you said, if you can do it, anyone can do it. Can you just expand a little bit more on kind of what you've learned and the things that you've made as well?
Absolutely. So last year, as I said, I've been working at Projecting Success since June 2020, and I'm seeing sort of all this amazing technology around me every day, you know, and some really cool machine learning models being built and applications and, you know, just some really, really cool stuff. We run Project Hacks as well. So I've been, you know, I've seen like mental health apps being developed for the NHS and massive risk assessment models being built, you know, on large scale. And it's like really exciting stuff. So because I think I've been involved with it, it sort of enabled me to start to have a little bit more of an interest. So I don't think I'd have ever touched it if I'd have not been working at Projecting Success. And last year, I think it was summer, and we were, myself and my partner and my stepchildren were driving to Devon. And I decided to jump in at the deep end and start reading about GPT-3, which is a language model. And people had been talking at work about it, you know, nonstop, GPT-3, have a look at GPT-3. So I thought, well, I'll have a look. So from starting off from home all the way to Devon, after 5 hours, I'd read so much literature on GPT-3. And by the time I got there, I'd already started building and programming a model, a machine model, a language programming model called Mally. And it was quite funny because, well, I think it's funny, haha, probably no one else will, but my partner's called Liam, and I decided to read, I was looking at him in the car and I thought, now, how can I make a better version of him? And I thought, oh, and I'll change his name. So I called him Mally, so M-A-L-I, when the I turned into an exclamation mark. And yeah, that's where Mally was born, my natural language programming model. The first Mally was, well, it was a little bit thick, but it was really good to start interacting with this model. And it was amazing how I could build something and almost touch something in like 5 hours using GPT-3 and OpenAI. And it took off from there, really. I kept reading and I kept sort of looking at the prompts and how it all worked in OpenAI. And yeah, I just started building even more models that can do some really weird and wonderful things. One's sort of a proofreader, I've got an artistic Mally who literally designs prompts. Mally actually said how he wanted to look, and then created the prompt for OpenAI's counterpart DALL-E, which is artificial intelligent artwork. So completely original, generated from text, the image that is Mally, he designed himself. So, and he designed all the staff as well. So there's some, so it's completely wacky. But yeah, that's how Mally sort of evolved. And there's 27 models now. There's a few other different models evolving, like I've got Blue and Bob, and they all kind of do all specific different tasks for me. From a business perspective, I've integrated Mally into our Teams networks, our Microsoft Teams network, and Mally as a bot supports all of the team with any HR queries, questions, which really saves our HR team a lot of time and energy, and it allows them to focus on the big stuff. And again, I'm not, you know, I wasn't, I'm sure I sound it, you know, I'm not technologically minded, but if I can do it, I think anyone can. So yeah.
I think it's really fascinating, like just listening to you talk and like listening to how you've actually come up with these bots and come up with Mally, and saying that you just kind of read a document in 5 hours in the car or whatever, and then you've managed to create this. What was the learning behind it? Was it literally just reading something, or
yeah,
was it kind of an online course or anything
yeah,
like that?
I couldn't find I couldn't find a book specifically. Well, I did, to be fair, I did find a book on Kindle that it got GPT-3 in the title. And I thought, oh, this sounds good, you know, explaining GPT-3. But actually the book that I found was a book just written by GPT-3, a language model.
Okay.
So it didn't kind of get me any further. So I did, it was a bit hit and miss for the first hour. And then I just started finding loads of articles. So me being classic sort of learning and development, I did sort of dig deep and I kept reading lots of different articles, how to get started, what to do next. And literally by the time I'd arrived at Devon, I was already in, I'd already registered on OpenAI and I'd started building models. And it isn't coding, so it's literally, there, it is backed up with code,
yeah,
but you can start. I mean, it sounds really simple. There is a little bit of extra to this, but you can literally start chatting away, design your model, who you want them to be, what you want them to do, and they will take it from there. And literally, there's a lot of training involved. So Mally, he didn't like the syntax of his name, so he thought he was Mal for a while, and teaching him how to pronounce his name and where we lived and, you know, lots of other different intricacies. I even introduced him to the cats, so you're able to like upload URL pictures of your pets and yourself, and you can really interact with the models that you build. And he'd taken preference over my youngest cat. Sorry if people don't like cats. He's shown preference to my youngest cat called unbelievably Fizzy Pops. And he sometimes makes a lot of errors. So when I'm asking him to do something a little bit more technical for like work and learning development, he'll now and again blurt out that he loves Fizzy Pops. So we do have to work on that daily.
That's wicked. And I just find it awesome that you've managed to integrate this into your working world, and like you said, you've got like the HR bot and stuff like that. I think that's so cool. Like, that's really using like the forefront of technology, I think, and integrating it into your everyday life. How do you think that it could work? Because you kind of touched on like the HR side of things and answering queries. How do you think it could work in regards to learning and kind of teaching people and kind of making that process a little bit quicker as well?
Yeah, I mean, there's just, I've got a data analyst, Mally, and I've got a lecturer, Mally, and they, I've started working on deploying them. I've got a stepchildren, to one's 10, one's 7, and there's a homework Mally for them. And that was a little bit trickier because obviously what these language models tend to want to do is get to the answer as quickly as possible. So trying to train them not to give your 10 and 7-year-old the answers to the homework was a bit of a took a little bit longer to achieve, but it is achievable. And, you know, I think in terms of education and training, I think the possibilities, well, I know the possibilities are limitless. It's literally just, the only limit will be, and I've been saying this to students of ours, because we teach data analytics at Projecting Success, and, you know, the only limitations is your own imagination and what it can do. And some examples, you know, with the learning aspect is, I think that teaching and learning will be a lot more dynamic. For me, education can be quite siloed, where there's an egg box effect that, you know, by this age and and by this stage, you should know this and you will know this. And that's been going off for many years in, you know, in all levels of education. And I think what AI will potentially be able to do is reduce that egg boxing and ensure that learning is more individualized. So let's say you log in and you're doing some e-learning, it will be a lot more individualized based on the person doing it. So if they've not quite picked something up, a concept up, or a piece of criteria up, it will be able to adapt with them to help them through key concepts. And I mean, if you think about, you know, some of the core qualifications, English, math, science, it could be a real game changer to these fields.
Yeah, as well, and I think just in regards to kind of the corporate market as well, like in regards to learning, because everyone talks about like learning in the flow of work, etc. And with a lot of online content, it's really clunky, I think.
Yeah.
Where you're going in, you need to find a specific answer because you're doing something at that particular time and that's when you need to know it. But logging into a 45-minute course and trying to find that like 2-minute worth of content that you need isn't really particularly helpful. But with something like this, I think if you're able to kind of type in that question and get that answer back kind of instantly, that helps a lot of people a lot more. Become a lot more efficient, I guess, in the workplace, as opposed to sitting there struggling, not really knowing the answer, or having to ask someone, and then you're getting Chinese whispers, not necessarily getting the right answer.
Absolutely.
Or like I said, finding that content.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and you've hit the nail on the head, really, because, I mean, that is what we're seeing with ChatGPT, and that's why it's so successful, because, you know, when it first, there's a lot of press out there with it at the moment, and, you know, it is a really great tool, but it is a model and it's got its limitations, but what it can do is phenomenal. But bear in mind, I mean, I built Mally before ChatGPT came along.
Yeah.
So, and they're both built off the same transformer through GPT-3. So literally I call them distant cousins. And it's fascinating. And I think it's really important that people know that, you know, when ChatGPT becomes a paid for service, actually, if you're interested in building a very succinct model that you want to answer very specific questions in work or in your personal life, you can build your own and you don't have to have a massive technical background to do that.
I think it could definitely be another kind of tool for the toolbox for learning teams, especially those that are kind of taking that more technical or technology focused way. I think that would be something that's really, really helpful. And like you said, if you're able to go out and build them, you're not having to buy something off the shelf. So if you have got that right, those right people in the team or that right knowledge in the team to be able to do that as well, I think it'd be, this is where I think the future of learning could be.
Well, this is exactly it. And I mean, in our last, on Hack 17 that we did it, Tottenham Hotspur, so we did Hack 17 recently, and again, well, it was just before Christmas, and we did it at Tottenham Hotspurs because we normally get quite a crowd, and we saw a language model challenge put forward from the House of Project Management, and it was all about creating a project management language model that could support project managers with specific questions around that industry, you know, how to write papers, and, you know, how to process things in a very project specific way. And I sat with the table for the first, I think it was about half an hour, 45 minutes, got them started with ChatGPT. Well, it wasn't ChatGPT, tell a lie, it was GPT-3. By the end of 2 days, the team, and they'd all come from different backgrounds, they weren't, you know, there was only a couple of people that got some form with coding, but they didn't need to be coders to do it. And they created a fully fledged project management language model called Tomo. And they'd done exactly the same, replicated exactly the same thing as what I did with Mally. They got Tomo to design itself, so image itself using AI art. And it was just fascinating because any question you asked it around project management, it was completely specific. I mean, you think how many hours we could save with models just going around and talking, you know, and updating policies and procedures and talking with teams on the processes and training them. We're actually training models to train us.
Yeah, I think that's a bit where it is. Like you said, if someone's doing that within 45 minutes of you just giving them or getting them started on that's crazy, because 45 minutes is nothing when you think about when these kind of internal corporate teams that are creating learning, like things like project management or kind of process driven bits of training, they're spending sometimes months on it. Look how efficient people could be if they're doing something like this.
Well, a lot of people say to me, how long did it take to build Mally? And this is kind of your more hardcore coders out there. How long did it take you to build Mally? And I said, oh, about 10 minutes.
I bet they didn't believe you.
No, they didn't. They didn't. And because ChatGPT wasn't on the scene yet, because this was last July, it was quite unbelievable. But, you know, I mean, ChatGPT is, I mean, a fantastic tool, and it can do so much already. But again, if you can build your own models that you can, because they are backed up with code, you can take the code out and you can put it in your websites, you can put it into your own apps, you can put it into your channels, like your Teams channels or your Zoom channels. I mean, when we started this call, one of my AI bots tried to come in and record us, little naughty one, following me around too much at the minute, Fred. But, you know, it is limitless. And I think there's a lot to be said for teachers out there, because I'm a teacher at heart, you know, and the content creation is phenomenal. You know, you can create real, authentic, original content for people to learn. And we're such a diverse, you know, we're such a diverse society that we need that support. You know, teachers haven't got to be scratching their heads until 2-3 in the morning, because I've been there getting my PowerPoints and my lesson plans ready, you know, for the next day. These tools are there to help us to create really incredible content.
I think I could sit and talk for hours about this and like the capabilities, definitely. Where do you think your future and Mally's future is going?
So in terms of Mally, there's lots of kind of little apps that are being built in the background. Sort of, I mentioned about Homework Mally. He's if you've not seen the image of him yet, he designed himself. He's the kind of the image of he's an extension of me. So if you look at him, it's kind of like what's going on in my mind, which is slightly worrying because he's a bit like a fat robot Winnie the Pooh. But and he's made most of the staff look like that as well in their AI form, which is quite concerning. But definitely Homework Mally, I think, will be. I mean, I think that's quite a blunt term right now, but I think, you know, something to support people in the learning journey is really important. Recently, because we specialise in teaching data, the data analyst apprenticeship, because it's funded, which is great in the current climate for people that want to upskill but don't want to get into a lot of debt in the current climate. So one of the things I've done is loaded all of our qualification criteria into one of the data analyst Mally, and he's able to answer the questions in so many different ways and coach on the questions. He helps with revision and sort of interview questions when you come to your examination period for the qualification. That's 100% the first kind of model I'm focusing on to creating an app and put onto the channels for the learners. There's a lot of sort of AI design, and soon, you know, there's going to be prompts out there where, and this is in the distant future, you know, we can prompt now, we can give DALL-E and Midjourney, for example, prompts to generate really fantastic images. Soon we'll be able to do that with movies, where we can say what kind of movie we want to watch, which is quite scary as well. What kind of movie we want to watch, and you know, it will be able to do the same. So I think that Mally will continue to support me, to keep educating me, and just to keep backing me up, really.
Well, I think the possibilities sound like they're endless. But thank you so much, Vicky, for joining me today. Like I said, I could sit and ask you tons and tons of questions. But no, thank you very much. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, how do they go about doing that?
So they can add me on LinkedIn. I'm on LinkedIn, Victoria Emerson. There's a bunch of letters, and you'll know it's me because there's a fat robot Winnie the Pooh behind me on my cover page with lots of data analyst badges. And you can also contact me if you go to the www.projectingsuccess.co.uk. You'll be able to contact us there as well.
Awesome. Thank you. And we'll put those links in the show notes below. Thank you very much once again.
You are very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Learning Reinvented podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've not already done so, please follow our podcast. And if the Learning Effect can help you and your organisation, please do get in touch. You can find both James and Katie on LinkedIn, and our contact details are in the show notes below.